This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. Hope you're having a great week so far. Happy Wednesday to you. We had a powerful show yesterday. We had Pastor Pear in studio. We like to bring him in. He's a pastor of a couple of large churches in the metro area, and we just like to dig into the Word of God, and we made the connection between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And boy, I don't know if I've ever heard such a balanced presentation of how these two intersect and how really they rely on each other. So if you missed yesterday's show, I really challenge you to get on our website and listen to the podcast. The website again, faithradionet.com. Well, today we're talking to a couple who lived the American dream, so to speak. They had a nice home, great income, lots of toys, and they sold it all, bought an RV, and headed out on the road to serve communities across the country. We've had them on, I think, a couple times before. They've become so precious to my heart. Last time we had them on the show, they were actually in studio. We went out to dinner, and the time just flew by. My hubby and I had the best time with Beth and Jay. So I'm excited to get them back on the show. The title of their book is Passion to Action. We're going to just hear about the journey God's had them on. We're going to get an update to where they are now. And I pray with all my heart that as you listen, you are challenged and inspired to put feet to your faith, because you know what? We cannot please God without faith. And we're here on this earth for this moment for such a time. And so he's got an assignment for us. So I really pray you're inspired and challenged as you listen to my friends talk about what God is doing in their life. So let me tell you about them. We'll get them on the show. Jay and Beth Lakin are founders of Passion to Action, a grassroots movement whose mission is to inspire, empower, and mobilize people to put their faith into action. Beth also homeschools their four children. Let me tell you, I met these precious ones. They look you in the eye. They're so honorable. They're wonderful kids. The Lakins family mission is first to love God with all their hearts, souls, minds, and strength, and to love each other by doing acts of random kindness in their own family first and then for others. Originally from Atlanta, Jay and Beth Lakin and their children, Ben, Becca, Abigail, and Noah, have been on the road for over 3 years, and I think it's longer than that now. They've been featured in Ladies Home Journal and on Good Morning America. You can learn more about them on the web at passiontoaction.org. Beth, Jay, great to have you back again.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So you've been on the road actually 4 years, haven't you? Is that right?
Yeah, about 4.5 years.
4.5, wow. Yeah. But who's counting, really? All
right. Yeah.
So you've been on the show. You know we like to talk scripture. I'm going to read the couple passages you chose, and I'd love for both of you to speak to these great passages. Matthew 11, 28, 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the first one. And then I love this one, John 15, verses 4 or 5. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, though, you can do nothing. Jay, let's start with you. Talk to us about those passages.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, like you'd mentioned, we've been on the road for 4.5 years, and we got to Denver here, and we've just really had a heart to be in Denver for quite a while, and just the timing wasn't right. And so now we're here. We want to build a ministry center here and have a headquarters here. And so I got away for a couple days just to pray and to really seek the Lord as far as what does it look like to, you know, for us here now that we're located in one place, and what should we be doing? And as God often does, he kind of threw me a curveball and really expanded my heart for my family, first of all, and then second of all, just really the word that I kept hearing on this journey, this spiritual retreat, was just rest, abide. Mm. And so we just really feel like God's leading us into a season of just resting in him and abiding in him and really pursuing him to have him show us what he wants us to do next. And so the last few weeks haven't felt real restful. We'll tell you about that. But we also just feel like this is, you know, we've been going crazy for the last 4.5 years, and so it's just good to be able to enter a season of just really rest and seeking God for what He wants for this next stage of our journey. So
I love that, Jane. It seems so counterintuitive to our results-oriented, production-focused mentality that we can actually produce something by resting in Him. Beth, how about you?
I agree wholeheartedly, Susie. I cannot tell you. I think I wrestled with this because, you know, as a ministry with supporters and, you know, people always look to us like, what are you guys doing? And we send out newsletters and there's this expectation that people are following us and they're giving money to support, you know, our cause. And I think we felt this responsibility. And when Jay came back, and if we were to be honest with ourselves before he went to the mountains, we've just been weary. We have been hitting a wall and just exhausted. Traveling in and of itself has just taken a toll on our family. It's been rich, and we have been so blessed by the relationships and the people we've met and the service opportunities and the people we've been able to touch. But we have really come away just weary. And so, when Jay asked me, like, what does this next season look like for you? I was like, how about crawling a hole?
Yeah. In the fetal position?
Awesome? Yeah. No, but it wasn't. And so Jay's like, well, I'm going to go seek the Lord, you know, whether we want to do once a month service projects, or do we want to do a weekly thing? You know, what's going to be our expression here in Colorado? Let's pray about this. We're so excited. Let's dig in. Let's go. And all I could think about was sleep and hiding, and that's not good. But, you know, we've noticed for ministries that it's so easy to just hit a wall. It's so easy to miss it. It's so easy to burn yourself out, and God is not calling us to be burnt out. He says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so we know that rest, like you said, rest is actually a very productive thing. It's the very thing God wants for us so that we can give more. Mm-hmm. I think you get to a point where you have nothing left to give. You're like trying to give water out of an empty well, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so we realize we have got to nurture our own hearts. And yes, we do that to spending time with the Lord, but just really go into a season of just walking deeper into Him and then letting Him show us, so that it's not our man-made efforts of going, okay, we can come up with something creative. Let's go. And we really wait on God. And, you know, because really we cannot do anything, like John 15 says, we cannot do anything without that connection, because all of our work and our, you know, what we produce won't bear the fruit it would if we, you know, just remain in Him.
You know, I think it takes great faith to rest, because you are then saying, more is on your shoulders, God, than on mine. And, you know, when we had dinner, you know, whenever it was you were back here, I told you a little bit about, we hit a wall about 15 years ago, a major burnout. And it was so disillusioning, because you keep running and striving in your own strength. You will grind your gears. You will fall down. And I love that you're listening before you're at that point, because I was curled up in a ball with a blankie. You know, I was really not in a good place. But I have a friend who's a professional cyclist, and I'm an athlete and I like to cycle, but she's in a whole new league. And she talked about, because she's an all-out, any race she would ride to win. And the coach said, you have more potential than anybody on this team, but I'm not going to let you go to the big show, because I can't trust you, because you go all-out every time. He said, the only way that you're going to last long, the only way that you're going to be a winner, is if you understand momentum. He said, not only in race, one particular race, but in the overall training, there has to be an ebb and there has to be a flow. And this taught me so much, that science proves that, let's just take one particular race. If you there's sprint times and then pull back recovery times and then sprint, the overall time is better and you recover better and you finish stronger. That you can't be all one gear all the time. And so Kevin and I really sort of managed our ministry that way. We purposely see these like 6-week pushes, and then we pull back. And I'm amazed at what a difference that makes. And doesn't that just make a whole lot of sense when you translate it to ministry too?
That's good.
It does. And you know what? I think we've missed that, because I think what happened is we were just for a long season there, we were just going from city to city, from location to location, and there was no margin. I remember telling Jay, I think we should schedule even a week or two from one church to the next, or from one location, because we would just, there'd be no downtime. Mm. So I think we did not, you have to really put that in your life. You have to purpose to do that. I don't think it just happened.
No, definitely.
I think for doers like us too, it's so much much more natural just to keep filling up your life and filling up your schedule. And then you get to the end, and what do you have? You know, you have exhaustion, and you have, you know, we can see a, you know, a difference in our family. Even though we've always remained close, I think we saw that it took a little bit of a toll on us, you know?
Sure.
Because we started skipping those daily family times, and we started skipping a few date nights here and there. And, you know, our big important rocks that we had told ourselves we would hold to these, I started slipping.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we know that's not good. So I think that's so wise, and it makes complete sense.
Yeah, and it's just, go ahead, Jay.
No, it's good. I'm just thinking it's great advice for a type A personality like me.
Mm-hmm. And me.
I may be calling you guys.
Well, you know, I had to learn the hard way. Like I said, it wasn't pretty when I hit the wall. But it was the best thing that ever happened. I love that God let it happen. And I love that he's invited you. And I think about when we were out to dinner. When was that, like 6 months ago? I think it was a lot. Yeah, and you guys were saying that even our schedule has cleared up. And I said, what's your vision? What's next? And you said, we feel like we're supposed to go to Colorado. You didn't even know what was ahead of you. And I'm like, these people are audacious. I just love it. So the last week we connected, you were going to a wedding, and then you were going to be heading to Colorado. I mean, who does that? I mean, anybody expecting you? No, we're just going. So tell me what tell me what happened when you got to Colorado. I mean, tell me about that.
Yeah, it's been a crazy ride. I mean, we just basically showed up and didn't know what was going to happen. And we parked at an RV park in Golden, which is great. It's right by the river. We loved it. And we started a Passion to Action group here about 2 years ago. And there's a couple couples that got involved with a ministry called The Table, which is part of a Lutheran church in Lakewood. And what they do is they invite people from distress. There's a lot of distress in their area that runs up and down Colfax Avenue, which is actually the longest business street in America. A lot of the homeless folks are being pushed up from the inner city of Denver into the first tier suburbs, which Lakewood is, and the church is really surrounded by distressed folks. And so they have a thing called The Table where they invite people, homeless people, and just different people, the working poor, and they have a meal. And they have some worship, and they have a talk that Pastor Tim Allman does and gives. And so we went and visited The Table and got introduced to Tim. And this was like maybe the first week or two that we were here. And I had lunch with Tim and just kind of told him, you know, we're looking for a place to park the RV. This, you know, it was very expensive to park in Golden. And so right at this lunch, he's like, well, hey, I got something to show you. So we drive over to this lot that they have that's just north of the church. They bought it like 10 years ago, and it's been sitting there empty and full of storage and really run down. And in fact, they kind of tease, they call it the little crack house on the corner. There's been a lot of bad stuff that's happened in there before that. And they, as we were walking around, there's a big, huge shade tree there. And as I looked down the street, I could see Denver. And we always kind of thought we'd be, you know, either in the city or near the city. I was like, wow, the city's really close. And he's like, yeah, we're 10 minutes from Denver. And as we walked the property, he's like, well, it's not much, but if you guys wanted to park here, I think we could maybe work it out. And as we were walking the property, he said to me, he said, well, this would be a good place for a ministry center, don't you think?
Wow.
And I laughed myself, and I said, I was kind of thinking the same thing. And there's this duplex there. And so long story short, we got, you know, the clearance to park there, and all of a sudden one thing has led to the other, and we've been fixing this place up, and we're going to use it as a temporary ministry center. So it's been amazing to see God's hand just moving as we've come here.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't come here aimlessly. We knew for a couple of years that we were going to plant ourselves and that we were going to have a ministry center. God just planted this in us. It was kind of like the dream to travel, like that happened, and then as we, you know, continued on that journey and prayed, what's the next step? Because we knew that we couldn't see ourselves doing that forever. And we had this dream to settle down, but just always kept our, you know, our heart open. Where do you want us, God? And we didn't know for a long time. And then we'd always been drawn to call, you know, had been drawn here. Of course, you know, it's beautiful. It'd be a great retreat center place. People wouldn't want to visit here. But also we just couldn't explain it, like this gravitational pull here. And we've loved Colorado, but in the past, as we've moved to different states, we'd never felt led here. But this time was different. We'd come here and we'd go, this is home. Even our kids would go, we're home. Like, we've never lived here, and we all had this just inexplainable gravitational pull to be here and to be planted and to be near Denver. Of course, the mountains are gorgeous, but we knew that we needed to be near the city, and that's where the needs are. And so, yeah, we have been praying about this for a long time, but our schedule was full because when the book came out and there was the, you know, different things we had lined up after the book came out, so we knew that it was going to come in time, but we just didn't know when. And God cleared our schedule for the summer, and we were like, okay, I guess we're going to Denver now. So that was when the unknown, we knew it was going to be Denver for a while, but the unknown came with where in Denver, Lord, and what on earth? You know, it's kind of like Abraham going out, you know, but he lights up our path, but it's one step at a time. It's not always the whole path. Mm. And the planner in me always wants, you know, I'd like at least, you know, a year down the road or a few months even, but God just gives us one step at a time. And so, yeah, we're in this crazy season now of having to get this place fixed up and be able to move in there, but God's just providing, and it's not even close to what our old house used to be, but we're thankful to have something that's maybe, four times the size of the RV, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger.
It's still not huge. It's tiny.
God blessed you with a crack house. That's so sweet.
If that's not thankfulness, I don't
know what it is. Amen. You know, what's amazing is that I've had Rich Sherber on the show before a couple times, and he's the director of Minnesota Teen Challenge. And he talks about those early years, too, and how he was working his tail off in a crack house because he got it for, I think, $1 or something. And he was refurbishing it, crying his eyes out and just envisioning what God had. But he was working his tail off. But it was in that willingness to submit himself to something that just seemed less than desirable. And now they've got several buildings and, I mean, hundreds of people, you know, getting free of their addictions. But you really do have to be willing to pay a price if you want to see these miraculous, great things, don't you?
I agree.
So true. Mm-hmm.
So this place, is this a place you're going to physically live, or is this a ministry center / home, or what is this?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because when we first parked there, our thought was we'll just keep the RV open and we fixed up one side. There's the south side and north side, and so we fixed up the south side. We thought, well, we'll use that as like a living room and a little office, and we'll keep staying in the RV because the north side was really bad and it was packed full of storage. So even for us to get the south side fixed up, we had to help reorganize a lot of the areas that the church had and help sell some desks and move a bunch of stuff around. It took us all summer just to get it cleared out. And then we got a visit from Lakewood Police Department about 2 weeks ago, and they said that we could only be in our RV and living in the RV for 2 weeks, and they said, we give you 2 weeks to get out. And so that motivated us to fix up the north side. And so we have seen people just step up from out of the woodwork. Painters, one painter is donating all of his time to paint the whole place and redo the wood floors. We've had plumbers come. We've had handymen come and just in droves and just helping us. It's just been amazing the favor that God's given us. And so we're about a week away from having the place all fixed up, and then we're going to use one side to kind of sleep on and as a kitchen, and the other side as like a living area / office, and we'll use it down the road, you know, for meetings and ministry space and things like that. So it's pretty crazy.
It's absolutely amazing. And if you just tuned in, or maybe you've been listening to us talk and you don't know who Beth and Jay are, we've had them on a couple times before, and they had made a six-figure salary, lived in, I think, was it a 5,000 square foot home? Is that right? Or close to that?
4,500, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, it was a big house, and they went on a mission trip. God stirred in them, and they sold it all, got in the RV, and hit the road. And so for 4.5 years, they've been traveling the country, going to communities and serving. What I love about what you're doing is, and I love too, Beth, that you said, you know, this wasn't an aimless thing, but what I picked up from you when we had dinner, just our times talking, is that, you know, the combination of stewarding now, the now by faith, but trusting the later by faith, like really pressing God for a next place vision, because there's both for all of us. We need to walk by faith now, but really have an ear bent towards heaven about tomorrow too, don't you say?
I agree. And I think that, you know, he promises a hope and a future. And I think that to set our sights only on now is very short-sighted. You know, we want to be praying and always be moving forward, because we just believe that, you know, we're always advancing. You know what I mean? The kingdom of God is always advancing. And so, you know, just to say, God, what's the next step? And right now, this is going to be a place for our family to feel a little bit settled and rest a bit. But we really believe God is going to use this house as a place of restoration and healing, a place of hope for the broken. We really believe he's got so much more for us and for this place. And again, it's just one step at a time. It's just doing what he places before us and being obedient in that, and then just prayerfully considering what's next, you know, and just keeping your heart open and your mind, you know, and your eyes open to ways he's working. Like, there's just this precious couple we've gotten to know that helps take care of the garden. They've been homeless for 4 years, and God's just given us this friendship with them, and they come over regularly, and we've shared meals with them. We've just enjoyed their relationship, and that wasn't intentional. We didn't go out to serve them. It was just God brought it, and has opened our hearts and their hearts to just join together. And so, you know, he's working all around us, and, you know, just to keep your heart open to the ways he is already working, because he wants to use us. He wants us to join him in what he's doing in people's lives. And I think he's just got so many blessings in store for us. I feel like God's just been having me in this place where he's just helping me to enjoy the journey. Even if the journey's difficult, like right now, this process we're in, it's tough. It's a lot of stress. We're, you know, fixing up a lot of things, and it's chaos right now in our world. But just to embrace each day, you know, God's got a gift for us. He's got something for us each day, and it's almost like unwrapping each day and seeing what God has for us, or how he wants to use us, or how he wants to display more of himself, you know, whether it's through the joy and laughter of our children, or a relationship with a friend, or in our marriage, or blessing someone with a meal, or, you know, it's just ongoing, and it's daily, how we can enjoy the gifts of God and how we can then pass them on to others. So that's just where I'm at. It may not look like, quote, service, but it's just a daily outpouring.
Well, I think it's a service to God, because you're offering up contentment and joy to him. I mean, here, you've been on the road homeschooling 4 kids, and what's your square footage of your RV? She laughs.
345 square feet.
Say again?
345 square feet.
Okay, so picture it. And so when I was in that RV, and I'm like, okay, so where does your tall 6-foot son sleep? And he's something like under the kitchen table, of course.
Of course.
Poor kid.
He's like almost 6'4" now. He's 6'3" something, and he's barely fitting under there anymore. So God knew the timing was right to get that boy into a bed.
Amen. And so even the police officer saying you got 2 weeks, how do you know it's not an angel going, okay, enough already? You know,
because it ended up being a huge blessing, you know, at first when he came by. I felt like I got kicked in the stomach. And then what we've learned is that with every problem, there's a promise and a provision. And we just had to remind ourselves of that this is a blessing in disguise somehow. And it has turned out to be. I think if we had not had that happen, it would have taken us a lot longer. And now with it getting cold, we need to get out of the RV. It's freezing cold, and you know, we've had some really cold days already. Mm-hmm. And we're just so thrilled and thankful that happened. And the police officer has been very, very gracious to us. He's actually extended our time, so we have until the 19th to get in. And so, it's amazing how God works sometimes. Mm.
And really, to see all these people gather together to help you, that's what you've done for people across the country. And so to see that return to you, that had to just warm your heart, huh?
You know, that's so interesting that you say that, because that just came to me this morning in my time with the Lord, of just going, wow, God, all the outpouring we've done. And we've definitely been on the receiving end too a lot over the 4 years, but it just feels like it's just coming back tenfold. People, I mean, we've had painters and electricians and plumbers literally show up and say, you know, how can we help, and work for nothing? You know, and Jay always tells him, you know, what do you say, honey?
I say, I can't, the pay is not very good, but the retirement plan is out of this world.
We can't offer you a lot. And I feed them and make cookies, and, you know, we love on them, but they are just blessing us so much by their skills. And it's exactly what we teach in our small group study, is just taking what you're skilled at, what you're gifted at, and using that to benefit others and bless others. And we're just seeing people literally come out of the woodwork. And, you know, God had given us this promise months and months ago. He said that, he told me during my time with him, he said, you are going to have an army of angels surrounding you to protect you, because the work you're going to do in the city is going to require protection. And then you're going to have an army of warriors, physical, you know, people, warriors, battling this with you, doing this project with you. And I didn't understand it at the time, but now we're seeing that come to fruition, and it's so powerful. It's just blown us away. It's just brought tears to my eyes to see people coming and helping us. And it's so much more comfortable to be on the giving end for me for some reason. But it's just sure been just quite a blessing to have so many people come through and help us with skills we just don't have, you know. We can't really replace, you know, rotted wood and flooring and tile. And, you know, I mean, just so much has needed to be done. This place was really, really destroyed. And, you know, it's just fun to see it. Also, what used to be a territory that the enemy used to have, to see it taken over by the Lord. You know, and so we've talked about, we've been praying over this place, but we're going to walk the territory and we're going to walk the neighborhood, and we're just going to be, we just believe, you know, God has so much to do here in, you know, in our exact location and then even beyond, but we just can't wait to join him in that. But
we only have a few seconds here before break, but I want to ask you, Jay, don't you feel like you become a better giver when you humbly have to receive, when you have to be on the receiving end? It just teaches us to give in a whole new light, don't you think?
It really does. I mean, yeah, to be able to receive well. I think that's really important that we learn to receive well, and then obviously you become a giver as well when you receive well. So yeah, it's huge.
So good. Well, we've got four copies of Jay and Beth's book to give away, four hardcover beautiful copies of Passion to Action, One Family, One Purpose, One Passion. And there are so many lines in this book that you want to underline, you want to write in your journal. Four copies to give away. Maybe you've got a question for our friends today. We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me during the show, Susie@FaithRadioNet.com, Susie@FaithRadioNet.com. In a moment, I'm going to ask Beth and Jay about their kids, how they're adjusting. We'll get a little backstory on some of the ways that God has moved in and through them before they even got to this place. Lots of great conversation ahead with Beth and Jay Lakin in just a moment. Song by Lincoln Brewster and Darlene Check. It's called The Power of Your Name. In fact, you've been asking us lately, what's that song you've been playing? What's that song? So we've been listing those on the webpage, on the podcast page. So you'll see every day when you see the podcast, you'll see the link to the, or the title of the song. That was The Power of Your Name. Well, I'm talking to our friends Jay and Beth Lakin. They've written a book, Passion to Action. It tells their story of how they sold everything, bought an RV, went on the road for 4.5 years, and just traveled from community to community to be the hands and feet of Christ. Now they've settled into Colorado, and first half we've just been getting the story of how they've landed there, what God's been doing there. Powerful stuff. We've got four copies of their book to give away. Maybe you've got a question of just the logistics. Like, I wondered, where do you send their mail? And so those kind of things. Maybe you've got a question. 877-933-2484. How did you get mail? I don't think I ever ended up asking you that.
That's funny. On to more important things.
Yeah, right.
You get your mail. we homestead in Florida, and so you can basically pick a state when you travel full time and where you want to be. And so we used to live in Florida, and so the tabs were cheap, and there's no state income tax, so we picked Florida, and we've got a mail service there, and we pay $15 a month, and the mail goes there to a P.O. box, and then we just call, and when we get mail, they ship it to wherever we're at.
Wow, very interesting. I didn't know you could do that. Well, let's talk about your kids for a sec, because, you know, I do know just a little bit that I travel, 2 weekends a month. It's exhausting. So to live on the road, be in a little 300-square-foot RV, you sure can. And serving and giving all the time. How are they recovering? Because it still has been an intense time here as you're getting established in Colorado.
Well, I think along the way, I think we really established some strong roots as a family. I think that was one thing that kept us going over the 4 years, is that even though we had many times of just pushing ourselves too hard, or like I said before, you know, letting date night slip or family time slip, I think overall, if we look back over the 4 years, as a general rule, we really tried to keep our family just stable and solid, and keep those family times and keep disciple times. We have disciple times with our kids once a week, and just really keeping those as a priority. And I think if all else outside our RV was changing, you know, our location, our relationships, where we were, you know, where we were going in and out of, I think even though all that changed, our family had just a stability and a stability in the Lord. And I think all of our kids growing up and making their faith their own has given them a stability, just knowing that God is their rock and that He never moves and never changes. And so it's really drawn them closer to the Lord, everything we do. And so I think that those two things have really created just a comfort in our kids and a stability that things in the world really can't give them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really helped them on this journey. And I think right now they feel a sense of being unsettled. But I think they see an end to it. I think we all do. We all go, okay, this is a phase. We're going to get through this. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think overall they're doing well. They're strong kids. They're communicative. They talk easily about their feelings. So life just, you know, can throw them a curveball, but they seem like they know how to run to the Lord. They know how to communicate it, and they can, you know, they can work through their feelings really well.
You know, it's so amazing when you think about, what you've given them. And so many kids these days have all the toys and maybe live in a, you know, big giant house, but what they don't have is a solid sense of family and a solid sense of God's love. But by you guys putting your faith to the test, by really facing down fears, willing to go to the unknown, and putting some weight on your faith, I mean, you've given them the two greatest gifts ever, is these, the sense of family, a sense of God's provision. That I told your oldest son when I saw him that time, I said, do you even realize how your own spiritual DNA has changed because of this journey that you've been on? And he said, it's just absolutely true. So, Jay, what's your vision for your own kids when you think of where you're going? And but they're going to grow. They're going to, just like that, they're going to be adults. What's your vision for them?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean, when we look at, even from the 4 years that we've been on the road, how they've changed. I mean, I've just seen so many amazing changes in them, and it's been so, for me, it's just been so incredible to see them just deepen their faith and to see them have hearts for the Lord. And I mean, my vision for my kids is just that they love God with everything, that they are willing to step out and you know, step out in faith, whatever that might be. Ben is 18. He's going to graduate this year, and I think Beth and I have already, you know, mourned that and cried over that, thinking, "Oh my gosh, he's such a huge part of what we do." And so you know, he wants to go overseas, like either with Adventures in Missions or YWAM or something like that. And so I'm super just proud of him and his decisions, and he's just really going after the Lord. And I see that in each of my kids, just their own desire to want to just, you know, go after the Father and the intimacy with Him. That just makes me so thrilled as a father to see them. And I think it's exciting for me to know that my ceiling will be their floor.
Amen.
That as we continue to walk with the Lord and demonstrate faith, that they're going to do even greater things. And so I really don't have like, okay, they need to do this certain thing. I just want them to develop who they are as people and their passions, and then just be willing to break past whatever fears they have to face to go after it.
That's,
you know,
so good. You know, the Jesus is their everything. Where they go from there, He'll lead them into His best will. So, okay, so you've got one turning 18, you're in a temporary ministry center. What do you see? What's your sense, at least, in the next several years?
You know, it's interesting because I think as far as the ministry goes, I mean, we're always going to be about inspiring, empowering, and mobilizing people. I mean, that's just in our DNA. And so I think it's just a matter of what does that look like tangibly while we're here. And I feel like what God showed us is that we're not going to know that right out of the gates, that we just have to really you know, press into his heart and seek him, and he's going to show us what to do. And but we really don't want it just to be, okay, let's just do a service project. We want it to have sustainability, and we want to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So when he says the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, we believe that that's for now. And it's really interesting because that's one of the promises that God gave us when we came to Denver, is that I wrote it in my journal, the blind will see, the deaf will hear. On this street that we're parked at, there's one sign that says blind child and another sign down the next street that says deaf child.
Wow.
I was like, oh my goodness, that's just ridiculous. And so I don't really know what that looks like on a regular, tangible basis right now, but I'm confident that God's going to show us, and he's already given us great favor with a lot of different people who are making significant impacts in the city and that we've already gotten connected with. And so we're just going to develop those relationships and just continue to go after the heart of the Father and just say, hey, God, show us. And one of the things that he showed me a few weeks ago is he said to me was, go walk up and down Colfax Avenue, pray as you walk, and pick up garbage.
Oh, I love it.
And so we haven't done that yet because we've been too busy with this place. I've been working 16-hour days just trying to get this place into shape. But we're going to do that, and we're going to walk the property, and we're just going to pray that God will just bring his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven, you know?
Indeed. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We've got four copies of their book to give away. Got anonymous caller from Minnetonka Beach. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Got a question for our guest today?
I do. Well, first of all, I broke my front tooth, it broke in half this afternoon eating lunch.
Mm.
And it was soft food. It was not hard, crunchy food. And I was just thinking to myself, okay, Lord, why did this happen? And I know you call us to be thankful in all things, but I couldn't find a reason to be thankful. And when I walked in the house and turned on the program, your guest said, with every problem, there is a promise and a provision. And
wow.
So I just thought I better call him. Maybe he can help me with stop analyzing, because I don't know what the Lord is going to do. I know I have a dental appointment next Tuesday, but that's all I know.
Mm.
Well, I can tell you that God just showed me a passage in Isaiah 41. And in this passage, he says, do not fear twice. And he says, I will help you three times. He says, I will strengthen you and I help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So God says, I will help you. You've got a problem? No, that's not a problem for him. I'll help you. Are you anxious? I'm there. No, you know, are you fearful? No need to fear. I'm your helper. God wants to help us, but we often take things into our own hands, or we have a problem and we go, how can I work this out? And God says, I'm here. I want to help you with whatever problems you face. You know, I'm your helper. And that just really spoke to me, that when I go through those tough days where I don't understand why something happened, or, you know, just crazy stuff, I just think he wants to be my everything and help me in every situation. And so I believe he's got something, you know, for you in that. I don't know what it is, but I think he just wants us to experience more of him in every situation. And sometimes I realize that, you know, things aren't like, in James it says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And it goes on to a list of things that God wants to give you in that trial. He's not wanting to take things from you in a trial. He's saying, consider it joy, because I've got things to do in your life. I am excited, and I want to give you perseverance and patience and joy in the midst of this. And so we have to see that as God wants to increase our faith, and he wants to come through so we see more of him. He wants to bless us. And so he has so much for you if we can just look at it with eyes of faith instead of with discouragement and despair. Does that make sense?
Good word. Appreciate that so much. Thank you for that call, by the way. But it's just such a reminder that nothing comes to us by accident. You know what I'm saying? It comes through his fingers, and there's always something of him to experience in it. I think that's so great. Well, Beth, you said, you know, that the Lord spoke to you about it, just this word in the word. this word, this passage in the Word of God, but it brings back a memory. Grace just typed a note in on the screen here. She said, last time Beth was on, she talked about how her quiet time was in the front of the RV with a towel over her head.
I think that was the car, yeah.
Oh, the car, that's right. Yeah, oh, that's right. You crawl into the car. You get out of the RV, into the car, put a towel. Yeah. I love that. And that was your secret space. Where do you have your time with the Lord now?
Well, you know, and not only was it in the car, at times it was too cold in the car, so I'd have to huddle up, you know, on the floor of the bathroom, not the toilet area, but there was a little itty-bitty sink spot, literally one person, you know, it's big enough for one person to sit cross-legged.
Oh, man.
And sometimes that's where I would be. And so I had to get creative, and no matter where I was, you know, I was able to just meet him. And he's, you know, it's so beautiful because it's like we don't have to have, like, a cozy chair with a big mug of something, coffee or tea. He's, you know, he is able to meet you and create warmth in his presence wherever you're at. And so so now it's still creative because this place is not done yet. So sometimes I wake up at 5:30 or 6 extra early before the kids are up and go over there and find a little corner to just sit and be quiet. And then if the kids are starting to get up, I move to the car or I go on long walks through the neighborhood and pray. Or, you know, I constantly have to be creative. If Jay's up and gone, I'm able to do it in the bed, you know, have my time in the bedroom. And it's just, you know, it's funny. Jay said we really should have a videotape on how we do life in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not, people I think would be shocked at, you know, the finagling and all the little things you have to just find a way to make work in this amount of space, you know. It's really interesting. But whatever you desire to do, you will do, you know.
Absolutely.
I think we can sit here and say, oh, I really want to do that. I really want to spend time with the Lord. But if we did want to, we would do it because we do the things we want to do.
That's
right?
Exactly right. Well, how about safety? Do you guys feel, do you feel like you're ever, I know that Lord gave you that word about you've got warring angels standing with you, but do you worry about your kids' safety, your safety? Are you even unsettledness about that, or do you feel fine about that?
I mean, Jay, do you want to answer that?
I don't worry about it.
All right, then.
Yeah. I think for me, initially, when we first parked there, being right on, you know, this location, I had a little bit of unsettled feeling. And then as I just surrounded the place and prayed and pray over my children every night, I just think, you know, and we were in a beautiful, gorgeous, well-to-do neighborhood, and there, my daughter was seconds from being abducted. There was a man who stopped to ask her if she needed a ride, and literally this was 5 feet, you know, or not 5 feet, about 5 houses down from our house in a beautiful, gorgeous neighborhood. So I just think, you know, you can't say, well, I'm in a gated community so I'm safe.
Right. Right.
I think the Lord is our protector. The Lord is, you know, he watches over us day and night. So that's what I have to put my hope in, not whether I'm in a gated community or if I'm in a rough neighborhood or whatever it is. I think God's our protector. So that's the way I have to just view this.
Yeah. And that's so good. You know, your best place is in the center of his will. I mean, period,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Well, Jay, I want to ask you this. Over the last 4.5 years, I think I know the answer, but I want to hear you say, have there been times where the money's run out and you've not known what you're going to do, and then what did you do?
Are you reading our mail?
Oh, wow.
Didn't mean that to be a funny question.
God is just so faithful to always provide, and I've learned that he is our provider. I used to think I was the provider, and, you know, in the beginning I was doing mortgages, and about a year into it I just stepped out in faith and quit, and we've seen God show up in so many supernatural ways. And even coming to Denver, I mean, we were making our income from speaking at churches and, you know, selling study guides and books and stuff like that, and so all of a sudden everything cleared out for the summer, and in January, you know, normally in the summer we'd be booked. We made the decision in faith that, hey, we're going to Denver this summer, and didn't really know how we were going to make an income because we didn't have any churches booked to speak at or work with or mobilize. And this same pastor, as we had lunch, he told me, he said, well, we're getting ready to kick off a series on service in the fall, and we're going to do videos. And I looked at him and I said, well, we do video work. And he said, really? And so he looked at our stuff and they hired us to do five videos. And so now part of what we've created is Passion to Action Studios, where Ben and I do video work for churches or nonprofits or businesses or whatever. And we've already gotten that job plus another job working for a Christian school down in Littleton. And it's just been amazing to see how God will provide. Sometimes it's tent making like that. Other times it's just people who out of the blue will get a check for $1,000 or $100 or whatever, and it's just exactly what we need if there's something that breaks down or whatever. So it's just, we stand in awe of how God is just so good and how he just has every provision that we need.
Well, again, it's because you put yourself in a position to have to trust him. You were willing to walk to the unknown. And I'm reading this book right now, Sun Stand Still. I don't know if you've read it, by Stephen Furtick. And I want to read this little passage and have both of you speak to it, because it's about the fear issue. And he says, it's not wrong to feel fear. It is wrong to let that fear have the last word in your life. The people who accomplish the most astounding things for God's glory aren't the people who feel the least fear. Often they're the ones who deal with the most intense fear. But instead of letting that fear disable their dreams, they start increasing their capacity for faith. They act on the part of God's direction they do understand, and they leave the rest up to him. Man, if that doesn't describe you two, I don't know what does. But love to hear just your thoughts on that. Beth, I will start with you.
Well, I think we've definitely experienced, as we've stepped out in faith and made huge decisions, we have definitely experienced some fear. But then I look back at those passages and it says, do not fear. Mm. So it's commanded. So what do we do with that fear? It's kind of like what we do with worry, or it says, do not worry. So we bring that to the Lord, because we can't let it stay. We can't let it fester. We cannot let Satan create, you know, just this little seed of doubt or you know, anything. We cannot let him have a foothold. And so we take that to the Lord and we run to him, because we know that our safety, our security, our future, everything is in him. Because, you know, it's so amazing to me how opposite God is and his kingdom is from the world. Because in the world we seek possessions, we seek security, safety, wealth, we position, whatever it is. And in doing so, we lose the very thing that we seek. But his kingdom is opposite, in that if we seek him first, he says, I'll give you all those things. Mm. You know, I'll give you, but then I'll give you peace and joy and safety, and you know, he'll give you so much more. But he says, you know, all these things will be added unto you, but as we seek his kingdom first, and that's the critical part. And I think we will experience fear, but we really have to take that captive, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so we, you know, we have that choice in that moment. What are we going to do with this? And really, if are we going to make that submit to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, or are we going to submit to it? And you know, our paths can go completely different ways. I know that from experience, because I lived a very difficult upbringing, a difficult life, and I've had to make hard choices of whom I'll serve and what voice I'm going to listen to, because the enemy's voice became so loud that God's voice was so unfamiliar and such a lie to me. The truth was a lie. That was how twisted I was. And the lie became truth to me the more I just let it ruminate in my head. And so I realized we have to take it, those thoughts, captive. It doesn't just happen. God has given us the spirit that can, you know, tear down. He's given us his spirit that can tear down strongholds, but we have to choose that. And we have to choose to take that fear and put it where it belongs.
Amen. Amen. How about you, Jay? You know, you're the papa of the home, you know, you've got this family under your care, and you did this audacious thing by stepping away from a massive job, really, and going on the road. That is just no small endeavor. How have you dealt with the fear that I'm sure the enemy has tried to taunt you one time or another?
Yeah, and it's interesting, because, you know, what's the opposite of faith? It's fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the primary tool that the enemy uses. Anytime we exercise faith, he will bring fear. And so I kind of think that whenever you step out in faith, you're going to deal with fear, because they're almost like roommates, and they're kind of odd couple, really, because they can't coexist. Mm-hmm. I don't believe they can coexist. But you're going to have to face it. And I think sometimes the root of fear is unbelief. Mm-hmm. We don't believe that God will do what he's already promised to do. And so I've had to just really uncover some of these things, like, okay, what's my belief system here? Do I really believe that God is true to his word, that he will meet every problem with a promise and a provision? And is he really good, or is he, you know, how am I viewing him, or what are the things in my life, the lens that I view him through? And so, yeah, I mean, I've had to exercise faith. And I think as you exercise, then he takes you to greater steps of faith. I think even for us coming here, it almost felt like a bigger decision than even going on the road for some reason. But, man, just to step out into the unknown, it's so amazing to see how God will, he shows up. And sometimes it seems like it's the last minute. And obviously his timetable is much different than ours. But he knows, like, when we step off this cliff there, his hand is to catch us, and he just it's fun to be a part of that. And even just to just as we step out in faith, we get revenge on the enemy, and we can just remind him that he loses. I mean, we fight from victory, not for victory, because mm-hmm. he's already been defeated. So yep. the fear and all the different things and the lies that he throws at us, we have to remember the truth that he's already lost.
And that's such a good point, because once again, as we put some feet to our faith, as we put some weight on the Word of God and shift our weight there off of our own ability to provide for ourselves and make sure we control our circumstances, we find that the anchor holds, the Word holds. And don't you think we come upon a greater knowledge then of not only whose we are, but who we are in him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true.
I think it's just so, so important. So I'm thinking of that person listening, who really still is like, I'm white knuckling all my senses of security, my income, my retirement, my house, but I do feel the ground shaking beneath my feet. And they're a believer, but really their weight has been on sinking sand. What word of encouragement could each of you say to them today?
I would say, just from my own personal experience, don't live for this life. Live for the next life.
Mm.
Because eternity is long. Life is short, eternity is long. We don't know how many days our days are numbered. But when we live with an eternal perspective, an eternal mindset, it's going to be all worthwhile when we get to heaven and we see him face to face. That's what's going to matter. And not that we shouldn't be responsible with the things that he gives us, and we shouldn't be, you know, give an inheritance to our children. All those things are good, but when they become the priority over really following him and being obedient to him, that is so important. And so that's what keeps me motivated. So I'm not living for this life. I'm living for the next.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. How about you, Beth?
Well, I think what works for me is just keeping my eyes on the Lord. And I think that can sound like really like a great idea and kind of cliche-ish. As I looked at Lamentations 3, God just gave me this word that because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. And so if I keep my eyes, my focus on him, on his great love, on his faithfulness, on his goodness, on how he, you know, he is so kind and loving and generous, and how he has a plan and a purpose for my life, then I won't be consumed. I won't be consumed by the minutiae, the trouble, the things that seem to whirl around me. It's like Peter, you know, keeping his eyes on the Lord, he was able to walk on the water. And then, you know, we've heard this before. You look at the wind and the waves and you start to sink. But it's true. The more I focus on my problems, the more I focus on, you know, just what has to be done, you know, the mountain before me or the troubles before me, they grow and they overtake my mind and they overtake my life. But if I fix myself and my purpose to put my heart and my eyes focused on him and his greatness and his goodness, then it's like the problems seem to be smaller and they seem to diminish in the sight of that.
So beautiful. You fix your eyes on your troubles, they do consume you, but because of the great Lord's great love, we are not consumed. This has been such rich time, and I've got to get you back in a couple months and get another update, but our time is running out. If you just take a minute, if you would, Beth, just to pray a blessing on that person whose ground is shaking beneath their feet, but God's just inviting them. Trust me. Would you say a quick prayer for them?
I would. Oh, Father, you are so good. You are so mighty. You are so generous, and you are so rich, God, with love and mercy and grace for us. And I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of all, that you see all, that nothing comes into our life that does not pass through your hands and your fingers. And God, we know that you are a God of love. And I just pray for the people out there who've maybe walked difficult paths or are walking a difficult path and have some shaky sand underneath their life, or they're just uncertainty or big decisions they need to make, or maybe they need healing. God, I just pray that you would just fill their cup to overflowing, that you would fill them up with so much of you that their problems would pale in your presence, that God, that the enemy would flee just at your name. Because we know when there's troubles and shaking, you know, an uneven ground, God, that the enemy is lurking close by. But we also know he is a toothless lion, that he has no authority in our lives. And we just pray, Jesus, that you would just overwhelm them with your love, with your direction, with your hope. And with just your gentle, loving spirit, and you would just envelop them in your love, and that they would know and experience more of you, God.
Amen. I have to jump in, hon. I have to jump in. I'm so sorry. This has been Live the Promise. Get the podcast on the website, faithradionet.com. Bless you, Jay and Beth. We love you.